T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Shelby, I would like to publicly apologize.
What are you doing?
I thought the mic was off, Ron. I don't know what I was doing. I was reading a story. I launched into song, and I apologize, Shelby. I do. I didn't mean it. Ron, you have to keep me under control during the updates.
I'm not responsible for that.
And it's my anxiety. Some people bite their nails. Other people do other things, and I burst into nonsensical song. It's just what I do. I'm sorry. All right? Can we move on?
Oh, God.
Bob Grove is our 93.7thefan.com hockey columnist. Been watching the Penguins, covering the Penguins, opining on the Penguins forever. And he joins us now. Grover, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. And just let me ask you before we get started, have you got all the singing out of the way, or would you like to do a little bit more on the air here?
I think I'm good. I'm good for now.
Okay. All right.
Grover, I asked Ron Cook, we were just sort of conversing during one of the breaks here. All these injuries, one after another, we were talking about some of the injury histories of these guys, and it just struck me like, do we really believe that there's one more legit run, or maybe more than one, in this particular crew? Like, I think on any given day, the Penguins can beat anybody. I think they could beat anybody in a series. But as we know, the Cup is an endless marathon, and I'm just starting to wonder, given the age and given the injury histories around here, if it's realistic that they're going to make even one more legit run. How do you feel?
I think they do have that in them, and I agree with you, though. It's a legitimate question because, you know, these guys aren't 38, but, you know, they're past 30, some of the big names on this team, and they've had this injury history that just seems to – it just doesn't come and go like every couple of seasons. It's every single season. You know, we've seen it with Malkin. What's unusual about Malkin is it's usually late in the season when he gets hurt, and this year was early. Crystal Tang, you know, his whole career has been dealing with this and sit again now. So I think it's a legitimate question, but I don't know. For me, these kinds of injuries that they're getting, and we obviously don't have a lot of details about some of them, obviously, but they don't look to me like these are players getting older kind of injuries. There's a little bit of a freak kind of accidental, hey, it just happens when you're a professional athlete playing it. A game with this much contact and stuff happens, but these guys take great. The reason I think there's another run in them is they take great care of themselves, you know, year round. And these guys are really, they're conscious of their window. They are. They've talked about it. They understand that time is dwindling, and I think they're going to put it together for at least one more run here somewhere.
Bob, is it just bad luck? You talk about taking care of themselves. I don't think anyone works, trains harder than Letang. And his list of injuries is just it's you could almost write a book on how much he has been hurt. Is it just bad luck? Some guys have bad luck.
Yeah, no. Well, I do. I mean, you know, I don't think it's anything that their fault, and I, you know, it doesn't look to me like it's anything like, you know, the team somehow they're not giving them the right tips or instructions on how to train in the off season or train during the season. It doesn't seem like it's anything like that. I think when you step back and look at the big picture on Crystal Tang, you've got heart issues, which obviously aren't, you know, hockey related. So, you know, that obviously added to his total. But, you know, the one bright side of this for the Penguins is that all these three guys that we're talking about specifically, but let's throw Hornquist in there too because of the number of games he's missed. I think what happens with these guys is when these sorts of things happen to them from year after year, even if it's only 10 games and, you know, not 40, is their appreciation for being healthy and being able to play goes up yet another notch from where it already is. And that could be, that can really, you know, pay big dividends for a club down the stretch and into the playoffs.
Bob Grove, brought to you by Ken Ganley, Toyota of Pleasant Hills. And I need to phrase this question very carefully because I don't want to go overboard at all here. I really don't, Grover. But Tristan Jarry, in a limited sample size, has opened my eyes. And he has more pedigree than Casey DeSmith did. He's regarded and has been by the Penguins as a future number one guy. So I'm wondering, as you're looking at that, you're running the Penguins and you're saying to yourself, what if this continues? Can we conceive of this guy as a number one goalie to the point where we start to wonder if giving Matt Murray $9 million a year would be money better allocated? We're not there yet. But is that at least a thought in the way back of your mind? I'm a Murray guy, don't get me wrong. But if you start talking, if his demands are upwards of $9 million, and I don't know that they will be, but what if they are? What do you think of Jari so far?
Oh, he's been very good. I mean, I think he's been very good. You know, and I was really impressed with his last outing because it had been like 3 weeks since he played. And he comes up with that kind of an effort where he made some big saves early in the game. And, later it wasn't an issue, but early in the game it could have been different if he wasn't as sharp as he's been. So he's been very, very good. I think for that to even come into the thoughts of folks, you know, number one, Tristan Jarry is going to have to do this for a longer period of time. We've seen him play really good in bits and pieces, and we've seen him play poorly. And that's not necessarily a reflection on him as a player, but he's a younger player, and he hasn't yet demonstrated consistency, and that's hard to do, obviously, when you don't get to play much. So I need to see this more frequently from him. That would be number one. And for it to even be an issue, Matt Murray's going to have to take a major step backwards. So if those two things happen, you know, now it's a little bit of a different conversation, but I got to be honest with you. Murray's had a couple of points in this season where, you know, things haven't gone well for him, but for the most part, I think he's been good.
But would you pay him $9 million a year?
Well, you know, I mean, he's restricted, right? So I think he's going to get in around 8. If he's in here pushing for 9 and the Penguins are saying, well, we love you, but we don't love you that much, could it get contentious? I suppose it's possible. But look, it's just the nature of the beast. He's got 2 Stanley Cup rings. He's been pretty good. There have been all these questions about he's not durable enough. Well, guess what? He hasn't missed a game yet this year, so we'll see. But at the moment, he's answered some of that stuff. And if he keeps playing the way he's playing, you know, I think he's going to get around $8 million, and that's just the marketplace. And there's nothing the Penguins or can really do about it. That's just where it is.
Bob, I don't think there's any question that late last year when Rutherford, after the season, said he thought some guys were fat and happy and too content, I don't think there's any question he was talking about Brian Rust, and I truly believe Rust, they at least looked into moving during the offseason. Do you sense that Rust got the message loud and clear and that maybe that kick in the butt has been terrific for him?
Well, I think he did, and I think he probably did interpret that the same way the rest of us did, and I agree with you. I mean, I think that was sort of pointed at him. And, you know, look at the way he responded last year when he put together that run, and he was on his way to his first 20-goal season, and then he got hurt again late. It's the only thing that kept him from hitting it. But right now, the way he's playing is so impressive because he's doing all the things that he normally does, but now he's added in the ability to finish a lot better than he's ever finished in his career. I mean, my God, the guy is on pace to score like 80 points after missing 10 or 11 games. Or whatever it was, it's insane, and it's going to slow down. That's the other thing. He is not going to be able to maintain this kind of scoring clip. But that's not to say he can't become a much, you know, just be a better scorer, a more consistent scorer from here until the end of the season. But just not quite at this rate, to be realistic about it. But yeah, he got the message, and he is delivering. I mean, this guy is bringing it every night, and it's. And you look at his point total, let's remember this, he's not getting any power play time. And that's what you love about it. I mean, the Penguins are third or fourth in the league in a number of even strength goals scored by anybody. And he's one of the reasons why. I mean, McCann's another big one.
Let's take a look at the Islanders here, Grover. And we're talking to Bob Grove. You can read his columns at 93.7thefan.com. He's our hockey columnist. That game that the Penguins won back on, a couple weeks ago, or November 7th, I still can't believe that they won that game. I mean, the Islanders just don't lose games where they lead like that going into the third period, but they did. And then the Islanders come back, and they've won 3 in a row since then. That was their only loss. That's their only loss since October 11th. What do you make of Barry Trotz and this team?
Well, he's another Coach of the Year candidate. You know, I don't know that he's going to win it this year, but he should be in the conversation because basically I think a few people, and I was one of them, thought they'd take a bit of a step backward bringing in Varlamov for Leonard. It hasn't happened. They got off to a rough start. I believe they lost three of their first four. And, you know, Trotz is patient about, look, this is how we play the game, and this is how we're going to win. And they're right back to playing the way they played last season. It's so impressive the way they play. So they have no superstar. I know they like to say, you know, Matt Barzal's the guy, but, I mean, look at the numbers. You know, none of these guys put up tons of numbers. When the game's tied late in the third period, the Islanders don't look to one or two players and say, you're the guy, go get the goal, like they used to do with John Tavares. They don't have that guy. It's scoring by committee for the whole team, and they make it work because they're so good defensively. It's so impressive what they're doing. And you know what? I'll just add in. I think this home and home set with the Islanders. I know it may sound crazy in the middle of November to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's kind of big for the Penguins, and the reason I say that is because I'm not sure the Islanders are a team they figured that they'd have to chase down again this year in the standings. But they're 5 points behind the Islanders, and the last three times they had a home and home set with the Islanders, including last year, they got swept. So you get swept in this series, not only are you 9 points behind them, but they have two games in hand on you. So it could be 11. And what I'm saying about the Islanders is there's a machine-like quality to the way they play. So don't think they're going to turn around and lose 10 in a row here at some point because it isn't going to happen. So I think the Penguins, you know, as well as they've played, and we all know they've played better than their record, they need to get at least a split out of this series if they don't want to be chasing these guys for the rest of the season.
Bob, it sounds like Hornquist may be close to coming back. No word on Letang, which bothers me a little bit, and obviously sit out for 5 or 6 more weeks. How confident are you, just as you talk about these two games, that this team can hang in there without those guys?
I really think they can. I think they can hang in without them. And look, Hornquist is he must be pretty close. So I'm thinking like, you know, maybe next week. And I think Letang was, if I read right, was on the ice today. Not with the team, but by himself. So they're starting to get closer. Hornquist is obviously coming back sooner than I think anybody thought. And if they keep playing the way they're playing without the puck and being responsible and making intelligent decisions for the most part, which they've done now for a quarter of the season, I think they'll be fine because they're going to start scoring some more goals. I mean, I just love the way they're playing without the puck. Love what guys like Marino are bringing to it. We talked about Rust. You know, look at the way Cahoon has responded. So the Penguins are getting some pretty good efforts, not the greatest starts, but they're getting some pretty good efforts. And I think the only thing that'll really sink them for me is the power play. I mean, the power play, I know it's got a couple of goals in the last three games. It's a problem. It misses, yes, Crosby, of course, and it also misses Hornquist, but it misses Letang a great deal. And until he gets back, you know, they've got to find a way to start scoring some more power play goals. That's the one thing that could sink them. But, yeah, I think they can hang.
I got two general league-related questions for you, Grover. One, what'd you make of the Hathaway spitting incident last night with Goodbranson? Yeah. And the other is how long for John Hines in New Jersey?
Well, spitting on a player is just despicable. I don't care what the circumstances were leading up to it. So it's just revolting. And, you know, I don't care if a guy sucker punched you or whatever. That's just something that should never, ever happen. And I think we can all agree on that part of it. And as far as John Hines goes, yep, this team was supposed to be a lot better than they've been. And, you know, I hate to blame the coach, but we all know how that goes, right? In all pro sports, not just hockey. They've had goaltending issues, and you know, they were hoping Corey Schneider would, you know, but that's not, obviously he's been waived, so Blackwood's here and there. But you know what? Look at PK Subban, for me, it's just been an awful addition. He's just hasn't added anything for that team whatsoever. And they got off to this poor start, and they're in a hole that I know they've been better lately. I mean, they've been better lately, but, you know, now you have to worry about Taylor Hall, and is he going to, if he doesn't like what he sees, is he leaving? I think the answer might be yes to that. So there's a lot going on in New Jersey, and could John Hines pay with his job? Yeah, he could.
Grover, how much are you watching Arizona? Obviously off to a great start, 13-7-2. Kessel has 3 goals in 22 games, 13 points in 22 games. What do you make of what his season? Have you had a chance to watch him at all?
I haven't had a chance to see anything outside of highlights with them, to be honest.
Well, there haven't been many of those.
Well, no, but you know what? Here's the thing. Rick Tocchet right now would be my front runner for Coach of the Year, to be honest with you. He absolutely would be. I mean, that what that team is accomplishing, I mean, Kemper's been really good in goal. And, yeah, Kessel's not scoring a bunch of goals, but he's picked it up a little bit. He's been setting up a few more. But this team plays hard. And this team plays really hard. And this is another team that, you know, I'd have to go back and look, but I don't think they have a guy averaging a point per game. So there's been a lot of defensive improvement. And we saw some of this from the second half of them last year. And remember, they've got some. I mean, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is an elite player. Keller got off to a kind of a poor start this season, but he's been recovering a little bit. This is another team that just doesn't have a lot of star power. But Rick Tocchet has taught them, it's taken a while, but to me what I see from this Arizona team is they figured out how to win games. And it doesn't have to be pretty. And I'm pretty impressed by what they're doing.
Grover, we thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, thanks.
There he goes.
Hey, Bob.
Bob Grove, good stuff.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.